All right. Trying to, this was kind of a last minute thing. I hadn't looked at this email from Christian Way. We talked about Christian Way, who leads a Bible school over off the coast of China to minister to Chinese pastors. And he will be here November 10th with Pastor Wayne Johnson. But wanted to look real quick at some of these photos. I was going to do it Sunday school, but thought it would be better for everybody to see him here. But you can read also his email on the back of the thing. But he was in China. It says, you know, at the back here in his email, two Russian friends came with me to China to visit our friends. Somehow we were followed the first day we were in China. Victor and Paul were followed by the undercover policemen in Beijing. We managed to escape from them and hide in a secret place. Then we quickly took a sleeper train to go to Xi'an. However, at the Xi'an train station, we were definitely followed and watched. We then made immediately plan change, and we are leaving, and we'll be going back soon. So he asked us to please pray. But here is the Xi'an station. All right. So when we arrived in Xi'an, we immediately found that we were followed again. This time, the undercover policeman waited for us at the gate of Xi'an train station. We were followed by cars and then been pulled aside and checked by the uniformed policeman. Then we found out we were watched 24 hours. We have to change plans and coming back to the States. Here's the undercover policeman who followed us right here. So he's pointing at him right there. The undercover policeman watching us. We'll see this guy a lot of times here. So this is stuff that I'm not familiar with in the United States at all. But there's the man right there. And these must be the Russians, Victor and Paul. I was taking pictures. There's the undercover policeman watching us far away. There he is as they move around the city. A better picture of the undercover policeman who are watching us. So he just stands there, acts like he's not looking this way. And they're taking pictures of these guys. I would think I would just be trying to lose them. But so I don't understand, but they're taking pictures of him right there. That guy acts like, I mean, Paul went to take pictures. There he is. There's must be Victor then. So that's Victor. Still watching when we were drinking coffee. There's a car that followed us. MK309 is the car that followed us. There's another car behind us. We've been pulled aside by a uniformed policeman. Policeman checked our passports. We checked in the hotel and still being watched. Still following and watching. So if they stop and take a picture, there he is. Following and watching, so he's not afraid to get like 5 yards from him. But I mean, he's everywhere with him, isn't he? A new undercover policeman who was watching us, that's in the hotel. Totally 8 people watching us. And so this is, and those are the pictures that he sent, but I thought that was just pretty amazing there. We can roll up the screen. But we hear of these things and we see this, and you know, the Olympics were in China and things are good there, right? But then you see these men are just coming and all they want to do is just check in with some pastors, and they're followed. Had you ever heard anything like that with Jacques? Yeah, and this is her son and grandkids, everybody. Are they're still right here, right now they're in the States. But they live over there in China. And it's probably different in different parts of the nation. It's a huge nation. But there, I mean, there was no doubt that guy was following. He wasn't ashamed to be following them. They knew that they were being followed. They take pictures of it, but they got that surveillance. And all they've done is probably be suspected of spreading the gospel. And so we want to pray for them. But that could, and we could turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 8. That's something that, if we had somebody following us, it could lead to us to be scared, to be afraid. Now, it did not look like these men were that afraid. They're taking pictures of the guy like right beside them. But none of us have probably ever been stalked or followed, but we would think that would be a scary thing. And it is easy to be afraid. I want to talk today about fear. It's easy to be afraid. It's easy to live life afraid. It's easy to
be afraid of thieves breaking in and stealing or harming us or our family. To be afraid of, you know, Muslim nations attacking and overtaking and coming in and, you know, doing whatever. It's easy to be afraid of our economy turning south. It's easy to be afraid of our government becoming more totalitarian. It's easy to be afraid of the government taking away our religious freedom and that we would be followed someday like that in China. It's easy to be afraid of, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow. It's the unknown. It's easy to be afraid of when we can fill in the blank. We can live life afraid, and it's natural to be afraid. Question I have today is it all right to have fear? Is it all right to be afraid? We're told, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. We're told those things, and it is not all right to do those things because God has told us not to do them. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet, even though it's natural to covet. I mean, our kids, very early on, they want something else that's not theirs. You know, whatever they don't have, that's what they want. And that's really natural for all of us. Whatever we have, once we get it, then we want something else. And we covet. It's easy to covet, but is it all right to covet? No, because God said, thou shalt not covet. Even though it's natural, even though it comes easy to us, God says you should not do it. Committing adultery. You know, the Bible, Jesus said, if you lust after a woman, you're committing adultery in your heart. Okay, all of us, and we watched some, you know, clips of witnessing and things where they would say, have you ever lusted after a woman? And everybody says yes. Everybody said they've lusted. Well, because everybody's done it and it comes natural, does that make it all right? No, because God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Fear is something that everybody's had fear. It comes natural. It's easy. But does that make it all right? Well, it wouldn't be if God has said, thou shalt not fear. If God has given us commands that we are not to be afraid, then even though it comes natural, even though it's easy, even though we do it at times, that does not make it all right. You know, we're told, as another example, that it's natural. Well, we know that it's natural to love our friends and to hate our enemies. But Jesus said unto us, we should love our enemies and do good to them that hate us and pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us. That doesn't come natural. But just because it doesn't come natural doesn't make it right. So the question is it all right to fear? Has God given us a command about fear? And we can't just go off what seems right, because there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We don't go off of what we think, we go off of what the Word of God says. That's where we get what right and wrong is. That's where we'll find out if it's all right to fear. Let's open this morning in Luke chapter 8 is where we're at. So Luke chapter 8 verse 22, if you'd stand with me as we read the Word of God. Jesus has given the parable of the soils. He's talked about hiding your faith, hiding what you're given under a bed. He's talked about his mother and brother are those that hear the word of God and do it. That's where we were at last week. And so we come to verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, help us never to forget what manner of man, what manner of God that you are, who you are, the creator of the universe. Help us never to forget that and to learn today what your word says about fear. And Lord, help us to where we have failed you, to repent of that, to ask forgiveness for that, and to hear the word this morning and do it. So Lord, I pray that you'd be with us and encourage us through your word, rebuke us and exhort us through your word. Lord, I pray that I would do a faithful job of rightly dividing your word of truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So Luke chapter 8, 22 through 25 gives us the account of Jesus calming the sea and the wind and the storm. He rebuked that and stopped the storm. Now this account was given in three different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And when the Bible does that, you know, these were written by three different people. They weren't copied all off of one source. You know, there's a theory out there they're all copied off some source named Q. And we don't know where the Q is, but they all copied from Q. And they always give them letter names or something. But these were all given by Matthew, by Mark, John Mark, by Luke, who went with Paul. They were three different accounts. And so just as we, if we were going to go to the hay rack right tonight, and I asked Rich, and I asked James, and I asked Roy, can you write down what happened and give a report of tonight? You would all talk in general about the same thing, but Rich is going to see stuff that Roy doesn't see. Roy's going to hear stuff that, you know, Jim doesn't see, James doesn't see. So we would all give different things. All of them would be true from different accounts. But if, let's say Dale, you know, went crazy and there was a bridge out and he tried to ramp it and jump over the bridge, they would for sure all talk about that. That would be in their accounts. Right? So there's some things that they're all going to talk about. And Jesus rebuking the wind and the waves, that's something that's for sure going to come into these accounts, because that's amazing. What manner of man is it that does that? So that's, we see the same account in all three, but we're going to see different aspects of it, different comments, different things people say that they're all true. And they all three could do a faithful job of giving an account of tonight's hay rack ride. All of it would be true and it would be complimentary. You could put it together. And that's what I want to do today, is put these together in Luke, in Matthew, and Mark, and get the full story here. See all that we can that the Word of God gives us. Because God gave us three Gospels. He gave us four Gospels. He gave us these three Gospels here, and all of it is for our edification. So, we see in this Luke account that it came to pass on a certain day he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said, let's go over to the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. Jesus fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. So water starts coming over the boat, and the boat becomes filled with water, and they were in danger. And they came and woke him, saying, so he's sleeping. They awoke him and said, Master, Master, we perish. Master, we're going to die. We're dying here. Right? And so they're in a panic. They're not asking him anything. They're just telling him, we perish. We're dying. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, so this is after he rebuked the wind and the waves, he said, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying to one another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So after he rebuked the wind and the water, and he said, where is your faith? They were afraid. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of the man that was on that boat with them. They had just seen a man rebuke the wind and the waves, and immediately at the word of his mouth, they stopped. And they said, what manner of man is this that's with us? Right? What power does this man have? What power does Jesus Christ have? So they were afraid. They were fearing God, which they should. Fear of God is good. The fear of the Lord is clean, the Bible says. And so they should fear him. And that's the fear they have there. They were fearful and afraid of what manner of man is this. And they learned a lot about him by seeing that miracle of Jesus calm the storm at his word in a split second. Let's go see some more in Matthew chapter 8. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 8. So Matthew, of course, was the tax collector. His name was Levi, that was sitting at the receipt of custom. And Jesus said, follow me. And he left all and followed Jesus. So now Matthew's going to give his account here, inspired by God, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Matthew 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Remember, the ship was taking on water. It was covered with waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. So in Luke, he said, Master, Master, we perish. Here somebody says, Lord, save us. We perish. Could there be two people coming and at the same time they blurt out, Lord, save us. Master, Master, save us. We perish. Of course. They were in a panic. They thought they were going to die. And so we get two different things here said by two different people to Jesus, because the storm was coming and they felt they were going to die. And he saith unto them, and this is before he has rebuked the wind and the waves. He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And so here we see Jesus, and this Matthew gives us this part, is that when they came and said, Master, Master, we perish, he said, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And in Luke, we saw after he had rebuked the wind and the waves, he said, where is your faith? And so before and after, he said, where is your faith? Why are you fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. Both before and after. So there Jesus is speaking of their fear of what? Of dying, of the storm. So they were afraid. They thought they were dying. They said, Master, Master, we perish. Lord, save us. We perish. Which them saying, Lord, save us, seems to have, somebody had an inkling in there that he could have done something. So they kind of knew what manner of man he was. Because if we're on a ship and it's the storm's coming, I'm not going to go to Rich until, I don't think Rich has that power. I wouldn't say, Rich, save us. So they kind of knew who Jesus was. They had an inkling. But so we see him rebuking them and saying, even before, where is your faith? Why are you afraid? And then afterwards, they feared him because of how great a power he had. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. And so we get him saying, why are you fearful of the wind and the storm and of death? Then we see afterwards, he said, you know, where is your faith? And then they feared him. Mark chapter 4. And Mark actually gives us the longest, most detailed account here. So Mark chapter 4. This would be John Mark, who went with Paul on his first missionary journey and later went with Silas or Barnabas. I forget which one. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, in the same day when the even was come, so it was in the evening, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. In verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, so now we see them, they first had to send away the multitude before they got on the ships, so it's nighttime, and they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. So now that we know that there's other ships bobbing along out there. There was other little ships along with the ship that Jesus was in. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And so it was getting full of water, was about ready to sink. And he was in the hinder part, the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him. That's new. He was sleeping on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? So one of them had woke him and said, don't you care that we're going to die? So they're almost accusing him of not caring. Don't you care we're going to die? They say, one of them says, Lord, save us. One says, Master, Master, we perish. One says, Lord, don't you care that we're going to die? Carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said unto the sea, and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. So we get the words that Jesus spoke, the words of his mouth, peace, be still. And when he said it, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So we get a lot of fear in this passage. We get Jesus saying, why were you fearful of the storm, O ye of little faith? Then we get them fearing him afterward, fearing exceedingly, because what manner of man is this? But Jesus looked at them and said, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Where is your faith? It seems as though Jesus was saying that they should not have had fear. They should have had faith in him. That they should have known that he would not let them die. That he had said, we're going to pass over to the other side. That's where they're going to end up. That he was in control of the circumstances even while he was asleep. Now, to know that Jesus was in control even while he's sleeping, you would have to for sure know what manner of man this was. And they didn't know that. If they did, they did. They forgot it and they didn't remember. They didn't acknowledge it at that time. He also could be saying, instead of coming to him and saying, Master, do you not care that we're dying? Master, we're dying. Instead of saying that, just in all things by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. They could have just came and said, Lord, if they understood what manner of man he was, go back to the hinder part of the ship and say, Lord, can you rebuke the wind? Can you stop the sea from raging? And he would do it. They could have just made a prayer to him, just asked him. He's right there. They could have just asked him that if they understood who he was, that they had the creator of the universe with them in that boat. They had the one that created the heaven and the earth. They had the one that created the sea. They had the one that controls the wind with them. If they only would have known what manner of man it was. And how many times do we forget and something happens to us in our lives and we're like, God, do you not care what's happening to me? God, we're going to die here. This is terrible. We start going through all this stuff on what is going to happen and we panic and we're fearful. And we forget what manner of God we serve. We forget who it is we serve, the creator of heaven and earth. We forget that we serve the one that controls everything, that spoke the universe into existence, that all this, all the whole universe came from nothing, and he created it, he could destroy it, he could control it, he can do all those things. And that he is with us. His name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God is with us, and we still panic just like these disciples panicked on that boat. We still allow ourselves to fear just like these disciples were fearful, because they forgot what manner of man it was with them on that boat. And when we have fear, I give to you that it's because we forget what manner of God we serve. We forget who God is. And we can say stuff like, you know, can you do anything about this, God? Of course he can. Do you not understand? Do you not see that we perish? Of course he sees. So back to our original question. Is it all right to fear? Let's just go through the Word of God. And we won't turn to all these right now, because there's plenty of them. But we'll get some passages. But go through and see what God says about fear. He told Joshua in Joshua 1, verse 9. He said, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. He said, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee. We are not to be afraid. We're not to be dismayed, because the Lord our God is with thee. That's what he told Joshua. Maybe he's just talking to Joshua. We can't apply that to our life, but we know there, even though he wasn't physically there, he was with Joshua, and Joshua was not to be afraid, not to be dismayed, because God was with him. If God's with us, who could be against us? If God is for us, right? He was with Joshua, so Joshua was not to be afraid. Psalm 23, we all know this, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not fear evil. Why? For thou art with me. Right? Joshua was not to be afraid, not to be dismayed, because the Lord our God is with him. I will not fear, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. If God is with us, who can be against us? If God is with us, we need not fear. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If the Lord is our strength, if he's our light, if he's our salvation, whom shall we fear? Whom shall we be afraid? The answer is no one. Nothing. God told Abraham in Genesis 15:1, fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield. If God is our shield, we need not fear. Let's go on. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fear. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fear. Psalm 34, 4. So we can seek the Lord. God will hear us, and he can deliver us from all our fears. We don't have to live afraid. We should not live afraid. We seek the Lord, he will deliver us from all our fears. Seems to me that's somewhat of what we saw pictures here. They didn't seem to be afraid. They're asking for prayer. They're being wise, but they're asking for prayer. They're not fear. They're not doing anything, but in all things by prayer and supplication. They're letting a request be made known unto God. We pray for Christian Way that he would be safe. We pray he'll be able to make it over here, make it back to China, and for the gospel can go forth. But we need not be afraid. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. What about the times we are afraid? The Bible said in Psalm 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. If we find ourselves fearing, if we find ourselves afraid, we put our trust in him. That must mean we're not trusting fully in him. We must say, wait, I'm afraid. I'm fearing. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Put our trust in the Lord. Remember what manner of man, what manner of God that we serve. Not what manner of man, what manner of God that we serve. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. But what about when the world gets worse and worse? Now what about the world that our children are going? There's going to have to be fear, right? And the Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So the world is going to get worse and worse and worse until Jesus Christ comes back for his church. Until Jesus Christ comes back altogether, it's going to get worse and worse. But the Bible says, Psalm 56:11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. That goes for in Jesus' time, they lived under the Roman Empire. They actually did die for their beliefs. They actually did get thrown into the Colosseum and ate, torn apart by lions. That goes for the Middle Ages. That goes for right now. That goes for the world that our children will be in. Right? In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Psalm 91:5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not covet. We know it's wrong to covet, even if it's natural. Thou shalt not be afraid. It's wrong to be afraid, even if it's natural. Don't be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Those times that we are afraid, those times that we do covet, we need to repent of it. Those times we are afraid, we need to put our trust in God. We need to remember what manner of God it is that we serve. He's not a helpless God up there just wondering, what am I going to do? I'm out of options. He can do whatever. We need not be afraid. We need not be dismayed, for the Lord our God is with us. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am the Lord thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Why do we not have to fear? Because God is with us. Well, he was with Isaiah. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. If only God was with us, then we could go without fear. Right? We don't have Jesus on our boat in the hinder part laying on a pillow. If we did that, we would not fear, but we don't have God. So that must be why we're in fear. Is that right? Do we have God? We know that Jesus came, and the Bible says in Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus, one of his names was Emmanuel, which means God with us. God came down and dwelt on this earth 2,000 years ago. But he's not here anymore. He came. He died. He took the cup that his Father had for him, and he died. He shed his blood for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Then he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. He walked for 40 days, and he ascended up into heaven. But before he left, he said, it's expedient for you that I go, because when I go, I will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is not here in flesh and bones. He's up in heaven preparing a place for us that where he is, we may be also. We will see Jesus face to face as we sung the song. But right now, Jesus is not face to face right here. So we're without God. No, he said, I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If we are saved, if we're a believer, if we have trusted in Jesus Christ for our salvation, that he has given us the Spirit of adoption. He's given us the Holy Spirit to come dwell inside of us. We are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells inside of us. When Jesus was on earth, when he was in that boat, he wasn't back in Jerusalem. He wasn't in North America. He wasn't in Asia. But now his Holy Spirit can be everywhere. His Holy Spirit can indwell every single one of us. So it is expedient. It is good that Jesus went and gave us the Holy Spirit. Because now we have God's Spirit within us. So if God is with us, and if God is with us, if God is for us, who can be against us? So if we say, well, I would not be afraid if I had God with me, we do have God with us. Each one of us, as believers, has the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells within us. Jesus continued, we read a lot of Old Testament, talking about, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. He told Joshua that, but we also have God. The Lord our God is with us. And Jesus continued that same message in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus gave us peace. He gives us peace. Our hearts need not be troubled. Our hearts need not be afraid. We have not received the Spirit of adoption again to fear. We haven't been adopted into God's family, made sons and daughters of the King, in order to have fear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God's Holy Spirit is not a spirit in us that makes us fear. It gives us power, it gives us love, and it gives us a sound mind. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. Right after Titus and Philemon. The last chapter of Hebrews is where we're going. Hebrews 13. So we do have God with us. And if we have God with us, we need to be not afraid, neither be that dismayed. We need to not be afraid of what man can do unto us. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Jesus. Jesus has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can be content with what we have because we have Jesus. We have God's Spirit with us. And it's because he will never leave us or forsake us, because we have him with us, because we have his Spirit dwelling inside of us. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, we can be bold and say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Because we have God with us, and he will never leave us or forsake us, because he dwells in us, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So we can have boldness in this world. No matter that evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, no matter what's going to happen in the future, we can boldly say, the Lord is our helper. We will not fear what man shall do unto us. Turn to Revelation 21. Verse 6, just to get some context. Verse 6, Revelation 21, verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we see a list of things that are grievous in God's sight, things that God says deserve being thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. We die once here on earth, the second death would be being thrown into the lake of fire. And they listed there are murderers, and we say, yeah, murdering, you know, that's pretty bad. Sorcerers, idolaters, yeah, those should be thrown in the lake of fire, we could say. But the first one on there was the fearful. The fearful. So Jesus says here that the fearful will be thrown into the lake of fire. Fearful just means full of fear. If we live our life full of fear, to me that says we're not trusting in the Lord. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. If we live our life fearful, if we live our life afraid, we're not putting our trust in the Lord. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so, we don't want to believe that, and that's a tough thing to say. Is fearful? How does that belong with the list of these other sins here? And there's a lot of ways you could try to get around it, but people don't try to get around the murderer part or the whoremonger part or the sorcerer part. So, I just want to say, you know, in verse 8 it says being fearful is something that God says is worthy of the lake of fire, so I believe it. And so we don't want to be fearful. We do not want to live our lives fearful. I believe it's a pattern of living in fear. I think there's times we are afraid, and we need to think on this and put our trust in God. We don't live in a fearful state. And it's easy in today's world, and especially, you know, different blog worlds or internet worlds or stuff, to get involved in fear and being afraid for what's going to happen to our nation, being afraid for what's going to happen to the church, being afraid of all these things, and we can just go from one thing to another and just fret and worry and be afraid. But I give to you, that's not the way we should live our life. We don't live afraid. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. We have power. We have God's Holy Spirit. And of love, we can love one another and of a sound mind. We can listen to these warnings. We can have a sound mind on what we will do, have plans for what might happen, but we do not want to live life fearfully. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In thee. 1 John 4:18. Did I say Lee? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And it goes on to say in the next verse that we didn't love him first. He first loved us. We love only because he first loved us. And so we're loved first by Jesus Christ, who loves us with a perfect love. If we recognize the perfect love that Jesus has for us as his children, that perfect love will cast out fear. Jesus Christ, what father wants to give to his sons and daughters bad gifts? No, we being evil even know to give our sons and daughters good gifts. How much more a heavenly father? gives us. He's looking out for us. So if we understand His perfect love for us, we will have understand we should have no fear, even though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Even though that in this world we will have tribulation. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So we're not saying that we don't have to be afraid because God's going to keep all evil away from us. Nothing bad's ever going to happen to us. Of course not. In this world we will have tribulation. There will be times that loved ones will die. There will be times that there's things that would seem natural to be afraid of. But if we understand who God is, what manner of God it is that we serve, we need not be afraid. We put our trust in God. And if so be that we have to die for Him, we put our trust in God. We don't need to be even fearful for that. And it seems to me that I could preach this sermon a Christian way. You know, you could preach this where there is persecution, and it should be something that could embolden them. It could make them stronger. And I think He's already living it, it looks like to me. It doesn't look like He's afraid. He's being prudent. He has a sound mind. But this could be a message that for us, you know, in future days and years, we have to think about is not being afraid. Now, there were people in the Bible that have been afraid. Peter was afraid when Jesus was getting questioned, and the young maidens would ask him, "Hey, you were with Jesus?" "No, I don't know the man." He denied Jesus 3 times because he was afraid of even a girl. He was afraid of being associated with Jesus. He was afraid and he denied Jesus. And we know it's not all right to deny our Lord and Savior. It wasn't all right for Peter to do it. There's forgiveness in Christ. We also know it's not all right for him to be afraid. But he was afraid, but there's forgiveness in Christ. Peter was afraid. But that didn't make it all right. Paul was afraid. He said that when they were going down, there was wars and fightings out here. Outside there was persecution. Inside him were fears. So he had fear at different times, but that doesn't make it all right. Paul was not perfect. There are times that he had fear, just like for him, just like for us. In those times that we're afraid, I will put my trust in thee. I will trust in thee. Maybe natural, but that doesn't make it all right. Let's go to Numbers 13. You guys are in trouble today because our clock isn't working back there. It's saying 5:45, and I don't think it's that time. So I have no idea what time it is. So Numbers 13. Numbers 13, verse 30, and this is when the children of Israel had been taken out by God's mighty hand out of Egypt. They went, they saw all the 10 plagues. They saw, you know, the Egyptians lavishing them with gifts to get them out of their land. And they crossed the Red Sea. They saw Pharaoh's army swallowed up by the Red Sea. They saw God feed them with manna day after day after day. They saw God bring water out of rocks. They saw Him make bitter water pure. They saw all these things and they were on their way to the promised land, a land that flowed with milk and honey, a perfect land. And so Moses being, you know, God had not given him a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind, being of a sound mind, he said, "Let's send over 12 spies, one from each tribe, and go spy out the land, see where we can attack, see how it is, see if it's really, how good it is." And so they sent over 12 men. And when those men came back, only 2 of them came back with a good report. Let's look at Numbers 13, verse 30. Look at verse 27. "And they told him and said," this is the people coming back to Moses, the 12 spies. Verse 27. "And they told him and said, 'We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there.'" Verse 30. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.'" And so they said, "We can't. The people are too huge. There's walled cities. The people are giants there." And the congregation, verse 1 of chapter 14, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They had just been looking forward to this, but now these people came back and they were afraid. 10 out of the 12 spies, and they gave this report of the land and they wept. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt?' And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly, the congregation of the children of Israel. So they were ready to go back. They were like, it would have been better to die in the wilderness. It'd be better to die in Egypt. It'd better be a slave in Egypt than to go and die to these huge guys that were grasshoppers in their sight. You can see this fear, what it made them do. It made them, you know, accuse God, accuse him of bringing them out there. Just kind of like the disciples accused Jesus, saying, do you not care that we perish? This fear is seen as a lack of faith right here by these people. Because God had said, I will give you this land. This is your land. It's the promised land. And Joshua, the son of Nun in verse 6, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, two faithful men right here, okay, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes and they spake unto all the company, the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth only with milk and honey. Honey, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. There it is. The Lord is with them. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. They wanted to stone them, but Joshua and Caleb said, we do not need to be afraid. The Lord our God is with us. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. They understood that, but the people were afraid and they wanted to stone them with stones. And here it says in verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Sometimes our fear is our rebellion against the Lord. It's our lack of faith. It's our lack of believing God's promises. Especially not believing that God is the God that he says he is. What manner of God that he is, and that he's with us and that he cares for us as sons and daughters. These are the reasons we need not be afraid, just like they needed not be afraid. Maybe if they were on their own, they should be afraid, but the Lord is with us. Fear them not, at the end of verse 9. Look at verses 21 through 23. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. This is God speaking. He said, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. So he said, these men, these 10 spies that went there and they saw the land, they've seen all that God has done, yet they brought back a fearful report. They brought back an evil report. He said, they will not see the land. Look at verse 30. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Those two faithful men that were not afraid because the Lord their God was with them and they trusted in his promises, they were to see the promised land. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto this all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. So God dealt with those that were afraid. Because God looked at that as being slanderous. God looked at that as being rebellious. God looks at that as being faithless. God looks at that as not believing him. And so we want to make sure that we're not living a life of fear. That what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Because the Lord our God is with us. Our lives are a lot like these disciples on this boat. When we become a believer, when we repent and put our faith in Jesus Christ, God comes in and dwells in us. He's with us. And we take off on this boat across this sea, which is our life. Sometimes there's smooth sailing in our life. Sometimes there's storm. Sometimes there's wind. But we must know that he has said he will never leave us or forsake us. We will have trials. But we need to remember who it is. Remember what manner of God is with us. Is that the God that you serve? The God that created heaven and the earth, the God that can command the wind of the sea and they obey him, the God that can part the Red Sea, the God that can do whatever God desires. That's the Lord that we serve. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We do not have to live in fear. That's a great message that God has given us through His Bible. But if we rebel against Him, if we hear His word and we say, I'm going to live in fear. The fearful, we see here, they were died with plagues. The fearful we see in Revelation were thrown in the lake of fire. We do not want to live a fearful life. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So we don't have to be afraid of thieves breaking into stealing. We don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen with our government. We don't have to be afraid of whatever it is. We don't have to be afraid of Satan and his minions. He that is in me is greater than him that's in the world. God is on our side. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. We're told in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. It means be full of care for nothing. We don't have to be full of care and worry and be anxious and afraid. We don't have to be. We can be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. When we find ourselves worrying, when we find ourselves being full of care, when we find ourselves anxious, when we find ourselves nervous, when we find ourselves afraid, put our trust in the Lord. Go to Him in prayer. Ask Him. That's what the disciples, I believe, should have done, is come and know what manner of man it was that was with them and say, Lord, can you rebuke the wind and the waves? And He would have done it. When wind and waves come in our life, and they will, we remember what manner of God we serve, and we can ask Him, Lord, will you please rebuke these wind and these waves? Whatever it is in our lives. God is with us. His Spirit dwells with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? He will never leave us or forsake us. And because of that, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And if we find ourselves fearing, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Jesus said in Mark 5:36, be not afraid, only believe. We have a wonderful Savior, a wonderful Lord, a wonderful Creator God that did all this for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So let's not live our lives in fear. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray that we could be strengthened if any of us are going through trials and having wind and waves right now in our lives. Lord, help us to behave with power and love and with a sound mind as your Spirit leads us, but not to behave in fear, because Lord, your Spirit, that you give us, not the spirit of fear. Lord, I pray that we can boldly do the work that you have for us, not be afraid of man. We know the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So Lord, help us to put our trust in you, not to fear man, not to fear circumstances, not to fear Satan himself, but to fear God, to fear you, because we know what manner of God you are. Help us to serve you, to love one another, and to do the works you have for us here on earth, and to do them with faith and trust in you, and to cast out fear because of your perfect love. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.